VOA 1, the hits, Lil Nas X with Panini. My name is Nikki Strong. You know, you can reach me on Facebook or Twitter at IAMNIKKISTRONG. I am...
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Brian Lynn, John Russell, and Anna Mateo. Later, we will present the next part in our series on America's national parks. But first, scientists say the world recently set a record for carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. The record level was reached, although industrial activities that produce carbon dioxide have fallen sharply. That is because of efforts to stop the spread of the new coronavirus. Carbon dioxide is considered the main human-created greenhouse gas, a heat-trapping gas that warms the Earth's atmosphere. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration said carbon levels averaged 417.1 parts per million for the month of May. That is 2.4 parts per million higher than a year ago. The measurements were taken at Mauna Loa, a volcano in Hawaii. Emissions of carbon dioxide from the burning of fossil fuels dropped by as much as 17% in April. Fossil fuels include coal, oil, and natural gas. However, the decrease did not last a long time. Peter Tons is a lead scientist at NOAA. He said carbon dioxide can stay in the atmosphere for hundreds of years. He added that the short-term reductions of carbon gas for a few months did not have much of a long-term effect. It illustrates how difficult it is, what a huge job it is, to bring emissions down, Tan said. We are really committing the Earth to an enormous amount of warming for a very long time. Records with direct measurements go back to 1958. Scientists say carbon dioxide levels are now nearly 100 parts per million higher than at that time. That is a 31% increase in 62 years. Jonathan Overpeck is head of the School for Environment and Sustainability at the University of Michigan. He told the Associated Press, "The rise in atmospheric carbon dioxide levels is relentless, and this means the costs of climate change to humans and the planet continue to rise relentlessly as well." Carbon levels in the air were higher long ago before humans, Tan said. He added that carbon dioxide levels reach their highest in May because growing plants begin using more of the gas. That causes carbon amounts in the air to drop.
New Zealand has declared itself free from the coronavirus and lifted all virus-related restrictions within the country. Health officials said Monday the last known person infected with coronavirus had recovered. Border controls will remain in place in an effort to prevent infected people from bringing the virus into New Zealand. All other restrictions will end, including social distancing and limits on economic activity and public gatherings. New Zealand's 75 days of restrictions included about 7 weeks of a strict lockdown in which most businesses were shut and everyone except necessary workers had to stay home. The South Pacific nation, with a population of 5 million, reported 1,500 cases of COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus. 22 people died. Officials said it had been 17 days since the last new coronavirus case was reported. During this period, about 40,000 people were tested for the virus. Overall, New Zealand tested about 300,000 people. Monday marked the first time since late February that there have been no active coronavirus cases. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern told a news conference she was confident that New Zealand had halted the spread of the virus for now. She praised the people of New Zealand for uniting in unprecedented ways to crush the virus. But she added that the country must be prepared to deal with a possible return. "We almost certainly will see cases here again," Ardern said. "And that is not a sign that we have failed. It is a reality of this virus." She said the most important thing is for the country to stay prepared. More cases are likely to be imported as people enter the country. For now, New Zealand's border generally remains closed to all but citizens and residents. Everyone who does enter is required to go into quarantine. Experts say a number of things helped New Zealand get control of COVID-19, while many other nations have struggled. The country's faraway position in the South Pacific gave officials time to see the serious effects the virus had in other countries. Ardern also acted quickly to order a strict lockdown across the country. Beating the virus will not quickly end the economic pain New Zealand has suffered. Thousands of people have lost their jobs. The tourism industry, which makes up about 10% of the economy, was particularly hard hit. But for many, Monday was a day to celebrate. Ardern said when she heard there were no more active cases, she did a little dance in her living room in front of her 2-year-old daughter, Neve. Ardern said the child had no idea what was going on, but was still happy to join in the dance. I'm Brian Lynn.
Businesses in the United States are opening up after closures ordered by health and other officials because of the coronavirus crisis. Many employers and employees are thinking about ways to reduce the risks of infection. One common method to find out if people might be sick is the temperature check. It involves measuring a person's temperature as they enter a building. Will temperature checks make the workplace safer? Checks can reduce the risk of COVID-19 infections. However, the Associated Press recently reported that they should not be the only safety measure that employers take. Looking for fevers will not remove all of the risks. Even without a fever, people with the virus can still be contagious or able to spread the virus to others. Increased space, cleaning, and hand washing are also important, the AP noted. Some employers are using infrared thermometers, devices that take temperature measurements from a distance. Workers could use the devices to take their own temperatures if they use hand sanitizer before and after each use. However, the thermometers might take incorrect measurements sometimes. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration notes that some kinds of head coverings, like headbands or bandanas, can make a person too hot. Also, some kinds of face wipes can cool the skin. The American Centers for Disease Control describes temperature checks as an optional strategy that employers may use. The agency adds that other protective steps, such as social distancing, maintaining a distance of about 2 meters from others, or physical barriers, may be more protective. The FDA describes normal temperatures to be around 37 degrees Celsius. A statement on the FDA's website notes that some studies have shown that normal body temperature can be within a wide range, from 36.1 degrees Celsius to 37.2 degrees Celsius. I'm John Russell.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. The number of births in the United States continued to fall last year. This led to the fewest U.S. newborns in 35 years, the Associated Press notes. The number of newborns has been falling for more than 10 years. And some experts say the coronavirus pandemic and its effect on the economy will result in even fewer births. This unpredictable environment and concerns about the future are going to make women think twice before having children, said Denise Jameson. She is a doctor and head of the Department of Gynecology and Obstetrics at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported the latest birth numbers on May 20th. The report is based on a study of more than 99% of birth records from 2019. The findings are considered preliminary. The CDC found the number of births fell to about 3.7 million last year. This is about 1% less than the number in 2018. Birth rates continued to fall for teenagers and women in their 20s. However, for women in their early 40s, the report noted an increase in births. Experts say there are many reasons for falling birth rates. Among them are changing ideas about motherhood and family planning. Many women and couples now delay having children. Also, once they decide to start a family, they have fewer children. Experts also say there is good reason to think a weak economy will result in even lower birth rates. Aside from a one-year increase in 2014, U.S. births have been falling every year since 2007. That year, a recession hit the United States. The drop in births continued even after the economy recovered. John Santelli is a professor of population and family health at Columbia University in New York. He says there are many reasons why economic conditions affect birth rates. Santelli noted that many jobs are low-paying and unpredictable. When you combine those kinds of jobs with the high cost of housing and other living expenses, people think carefully before having children. Brady Hamilton was the lead author of the CDC report. The effect of the pandemic, Hamilton said, will not become clear in hospital maternity wards until late this year or early next year. Santelli notes it is possible births will increase among some groups. Getting access to birth control and operations for ending pregnancies has become more difficult, he said. He added that couples stuck at home together may have more time for sex. However, other experts say it is more likely that birth rates will fall. Hans-Peter Kohler is a fertility researcher at the University of Pennsylvania. He said the idea that there will be a lot of corona babies is widely perceived as a myth. Kohler said that the debate most experts are having is not about whether there will be a decrease in births, but whether it will be lasting. And that's the Health and Lifestyle Report. I'm Anna Mateo.
To help protect yourself against the new coronavirus, wash your hands for 20 seconds with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, and after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. If you cannot wash your hands with soap and water, use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer that contains at least 60% alcohol. Taking these steps can help prevent not only the new coronavirus disease, but also colds, flu, and other viruses. For more information, visit the following websites: the World Health Organization at www.who.int or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention at www.cdc.gov.
Today, on our National Parks Journey, we explore the Everglades in South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
When many people think of Florida, images of sandy coasts, theme parks, and rocket launches come to mind. But it is also home to a natural wilderness different from any other in the United States. Everglades National Park is the largest subtropical wilderness in the U.S. Several rare and endangered species live in the park. It is a huge place, covering more than 600,000 hectares of wetlands. It is also a popular park. More than 1 million visitors pass through the official entrances every year. But others enter the park on water and go uncounted.
In 1947, President Harry Truman spoke at the official opening of Everglades National Park. He said the goal of creating the park was to protect forever a wild area that could never be replaced. The Everglades is considered one of the biological wonders of the world. It is a place where plants and animals from the Caribbean Sea share an ecosystem with native North American species. 9 different environments exist within the Everglades. They include mangrove and cypress swamps, estuaries, and coastal marshes.
In the 1940s, reporter and environmentalist Marjorie Stoneman Douglas wrote a book called The Everglades, River of Grass. She described the area as the liquid heart of Florida. Everglades National Park was created to protect an ecosystem from damage. The Everglades is home to about 30 species that federal officials say are threatened or endangered. They include the Florida panther, the American crocodile, and the West Indian manatee. More than 350 bird species and 300 species of fresh and saltwater fish live within the park. The Everglades is also home to 40 species of mammals and 50 reptile species.
Visitors to the Everglades will see many exotic plants. They include what is said to be the largest growth of mangrove trees in the Western world. Gumbo limbo trees, known for their peeling red skin. Strangler figs and royal palms are also among the area's plant life. The country's largest living mahogany tree also lives in the Everglades. Sawgrass grows in some areas of the park. Be careful. Sawgrass is very sharp, with teeth just like a saw. It can grow up to 4 meters tall. With about 1.5 meters of rainfall each year, plants and trees never stop growing in the Everglades. The dry winter season is the favorite of most visitors, when insects like mosquitoes are less of a problem. The rainy season lasts from June to November.
There are many ways to explore the Everglades. Visitors can see alligators while hiking the Anhinga Trail. The park is one of the only places in the world where freshwater alligators and saltwater crocodiles live in the same area. Visitors using canoes are likely to observe large groups of wading birds, like the wood stork or the great blue heron. Bright pink flamingos also thrive in the Everglades. Some visitors might enjoy riding bicycles through Shark Valley. Others might want to take it more slowly. The boardwalk walking trail goes right over the slow-moving water. Visitors can take a close look at insects and other wildlife. The park also offers tram rides for guided tours.
The National Park Service says that early colonial settlers and land developers believed the Everglades had little value. The settlers had plans to remove water from the area. In the 1880s, developers began digging canals to reduce water levels. At the time, they did not understand the complexity of the Everglades ecosystem. As a result, they were not prepared for all the work. They caused environmental problems. Larger efforts to drain the wetlands continued between 1905 and 1910. Farms were built on large pieces of land. More people began to move to the Everglades. More changes came mid-century. The federal government built roads, canals, and water control systems throughout South Florida. The project was aimed at providing water and flood protection for people and farms. Workers built a huge system of waterways and pumping stations to control the overflow of Lake Okeechobee north of the Everglades.
In more recent years, environmental experts learned about the damage to the Everglades. Some experts say the balance of nature in the area has been destroyed. Today, some of South Florida's early wetland areas no longer exist. Populations of wading birds have been reduced by 90%. Whole populations of animals are in danger of disappearing. In 2000, Congress approved a plan to restore and improve the Everglades. Federal, state, and other organizations are partners in the Comprehensive Everglades Restoration Plan. The future is not clear for the wild and beautiful Everglades, but efforts are underway to protect this biological treasure. The hope is that people may continue to visit the extraordinary Everglades National Park long into the future. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Ann Ball.
That's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.